The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Time to turn our attention to the morning, to the interview this morning that has to be done with Andre Seely. Good morning to you, Andre. Andre, welcome to the program.
Pleasure to be here, David. Pleasure to be here. You know, you got me up early joining the 5 a.m. club with you, so...
Yeah, boy.
I appreciate that.
We were chatting since 5 o'clock.
Yes, we were.
That is me every morning at 4 a.m.
Listen, I'm catching up. I'm catching up.
Well, it's good to have you. I mean, a brilliant idea. Becoming 2025 was a project that I found remarkable.
Yeah.
I was able to share a room with individuals that you would not get at one time.
In the room at the same time.
At the same time.
I really appreciate you coming to, and the coverage was, and you really handled it with a certain level of professionalism.
Always.
And openness, most of all, yes.
That's how I approach every project when I'm sent out on an assignment. And I was amazed. I mean, when I looked around the room and I chatted with the likes of the Venezuelan ambassador and other CEOs and stakeholders within the corporate world, and then not to mention the entertainers that were there, those representing the film and music industry, the orange economy in a big way, and were able to simplify their presence.
Yes.
That's what I like. They were able to simplify their presence and engage in wholesome networking. It was an evening of elegance.
For sure. That's what partying with a purpose looks like. So I can share some insight, if you like me, to on the whole concept and how I came up with it, right?
That's the first question.
Okay, sure. So the word Becoming, because most people would never think, hey, you have an event or a party called Becoming. Where did that stem from? And that really stemmed from my personal journey from moving from the consummate professional to what I would say phrase now is that I'm in my creative era. So people are constantly becoming better versions of themselves, changing different eras. You know, you're doing one thing and then you're doing something else at a later point in your time. And I felt like because of the sustainability of that, it really represented the evolution, more than growth, the evolution of the human being. So I took my personal journey, which the event actually stemmed from my birthday. It used to be my birthday event, but because it was so relatable to people, becoming, we took that and we branded it into an event to represent the evolution of the human being as they enter different chapters and eras in their lives. And one of the unique identifiers, which you definitely identify, the fact that, hey, how could you come up with such a diverse and eclectic room? Because the truth is, and some people may agree with it, some people may not, is that Trinidad is much more fragmented, in my opinion, than it is diverse. So we endeavor to say, hey, let's merge business with entertainment, and let's see if we should get together or comprise a room with people from different spheres of influence who, like you rightfully said, would usually never be in the same room at the same time. So there was an art and a science to it, and that's why the event, though it was publicized, a private event, and non-ticketed, because we needed to not only create the room, but curate it. So specifically, I would say there were 11 categories of or classifications that we identified to say, hey, wouldn't it be an interesting, memorable moment if these 11 types of individuals was in a room together? You want to hear what those 11 are?
I didn't even realize you categorized them.
Yeah, so range from executives, business owners / entrepreneurs, young professionals, seasoned professionals, expats, politicians, media personalities like yourself, sports persons, influencers, socialites, and last but not least, creatives / musicians. We say, hey, these people usually don't be in the same room at the same time. And what if we create the room good enough, the magic would just happen organically. It wouldn't have to call it a networking event. It would just happen just because everybody becomes a fan of each other, and it would just be a natural progression. And that's what happened overnight. We had, you know, representation from different embassies, not only the Venezuelan ambassadors there, Panama, and I believe Peru, and then a representative from the Mexican embassy as well, just to say a few. But it was really amazing night, and it was unforgettable.
One of the things I want to ask you is why the importance of bridging the corporate world to the orange economy, to those within the creative industry?
Good, because the creative industry needs that type of support. They usually operate in a silo, and when you get a lot of creatives in your room, only creatives in your room, all they really do is they talk about their projects, but nobody there can help them execute it, that support necessary. So the business community. So what we're essentially doing as a social enterprise, Make It Happen Network, is that we are merging that business with entertainment, or a new category of business. So typically there is B2B, business to business, or B2C, business to consumer, or B2G, business to government. We're saying, hey, let's add something to that equation. Let's go B2E. business to entertainment, or B2C, a different version of B2C, business to creativity or creatives. But you're not selling. What you're doing is supporting. So business is not selling to consumers. Business is supporting the creative. Business is supporting entertainment. So we add in a new classification there, because that is just what is required in this dispensation.
For the benefit of those who may not understand what that looks like or sounds like or the benefits behind it, why do you think companies, the corporate world, should, what benefits would the corporate world get, rather, out of supporting creatives? What would be the pull, the gravity, to say, well, listen, you see me? I am liking the idea of this, what Andre is doing. Let me support it. What would be the, what would a business look for in terms of feedback or to get back for supporting you?
Good. So a range of things. They could actually get back a direct ROI, but let's speak about it more from the supporting aspect in terms of some of the initiatives that governments around the world have done to support the industry, and how that, and how that's had a trickle-down effect. So first of all, I believe, I'm not sure if the program is still on, but they have certain tax credits that businesses will get for supporting film and fashion otherwise. I think it's about 150% uplift. So if you spend X amount of dollars, you get back 150%. So that is one of the benefits, tangible benefits that you can get. But the broader scope in terms of the economy, and that's where the orange economy comes in terms of the massive growth potential from that, as your business now integrates with, because what you're really doing, right, is that you're pairing the dreamers with the doers, because of the growth potential. So let me, for people to better understand that, they don't understand the dynamics of the orange economy and where that fits into everything. So the orange economy, that term was first coined in 2013 by a document, a manual that was authored by the IDB, called the Orange Economy, Infinite Opportunities, because they look in their research, they saw the orange economy represents the products and services that are create stem from the creative industry as a avenue for growth and development, specifically in Latin America and the Caribbean. And that growth potential is immense. You know, I shared some of that data with you, so you could share it with the people if you have it in front of you, in terms of the impact of that. And I could share it from you. We are talking about globally, a global value of over $4.3 trillion in revenue. The employment, approximately 30 to 50 million jobs worldwide. The growth, it is among the top five growing economy sectors globally. But let's drill that down to regionally and what that looks like for the Latin America and the Caribbean. It generates $124 billion in annual revenue and supports over 1.9 million direct jobs. And this is information coming from the publications from the IDB. Okay, and it's really seen as a diversification driver for Caribbean economies. So, for example, in 2013, it represents about 3% of the global growth. They expect that to be 10% by 2030. So the impact, and that impact that we're talking about, real direct jobs and employment opportunities. And an easy way for the listener to understand that, just think about when somebody comes in from a professional job, which is the yellow economy, knowledge or the skilled workers, right? They go into a job or a profession that already exists. A doctor goes into a practice, whether they're working for a hospital, an attorney goes into a
law firm.
Right? They go into something that already exists. But the creative now, when that intellectual, what I like to call intellectual currency, they know that translates into a business endeavor that never existed before. So you're creating something that never existed before. So another way so that somebody could get it to see, you know, as something as simple as carnival, somebody comes up with a carnival idea for a costume, that now could turn into, morph into, okay, let me get my own band. And with the band, the employment opportunities that come from that, from the people that make the feathers and the DJs and all the entire ecosystem. So you could see like how that creative idea, that intellectual value, that intellectual currency could change into a sustainable business enterprise. But for that to happen, you need the investment from the business community. You need the support from the government. And one of the big, great examples of that, because it's, and the creative industry, or the cultural economy, as they say, is not just film, music, and fashion. It's digital content, it's the content creators, it's ads, it is the heritage. Heritage as well, cultural heritage. It spans a lot. That's what they have areas called creative tech. In UK, say, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the UK, they're known for their gaming.
Yeah.
Their gaming and streaming. So Grand Theft Auto was and is the fastest selling game of all time. $1 billion worldwide revenue in 3 days. Okay, so now with that, now what the government, the UK government did is they build a prototype fund to help gamers get into industry, just because they saw the impact, the economic impact of those creators who started that video game. So now they supported the industry by creating this fund. I believe it started with $6 million, and they added another $6 million over time just to help support that industry. So that, so it's a multi-pronged approach. So the government support, the businesses invest, and therefore that adds to that economic growth and that diversification over time. So the question is, hey, how big could that really help us diversify in a statistically significant way? And to speak to that, you just have to look at a typical economy whereby you have a down market and it affects the prices. So people are not buying as much, they're not doing any discretionary spending. But the interesting thing about the orange economy in the creative sector, it will still have the same amount of spending, because in this case, in a typical case of a conventional business, the value and the prices are driven and dictated by market forces.
But then with everything that you're saying, one texter is now asking me, how does the orange economy really relates to the average citizen within any country?
Relates in terms of how it relates, because, okay, if you are a fashion designer, you're in the orange economy. If you're doing...
No, outside, but that is the person, the creators, that's us. Yeah. That's in our space.
Right.
But I don't think they understand others outside of the orange economy consume the output, the consumption.
The music you listen to, the clothes you wear, right?
There you go.
The clothes you wear, the movies you stream.
That's right.
Right? Okay, the places you go to, the museums, the art you buy. So this is what I'm saying, is that because the values in the eyes of the beholder, it defies conventional wisdom and market forces. Because what that piece of art, one person might say, well, I might pay $100 for that, but somebody said that's worth $100,000. So so because the values in the eyes of the beholder, the growth could be exponential, because of the magnitude of, if you see something that you think is worth it, you're going to buy it.
And this is what I want, this is why I'm glad, you know. Let's talk a little bit about the intellectual property, but just before we delve into the intellectual property, to explain those factors, you gave some damning statistics, you know. And that's what I love about this whole interview. You came fully prepared.
Yeah.
When you called out those statistics and I fact find on them, they are actually credible and factual.
Yes, yes,
and the
yes.
thing about it is, persons that understand of the green economy, we understand the marketing in terms of the markets, the agriculture, the produce. But when it comes to the orange economy, it seems to be an economy that, you know, what's the term, boy?
Because it looks intangible. It's not tangible.
It doesn't seem tangible.
Right. But and this is what we're trying to explain. It's tangible. That's how you look at it.
But it's for entertainment. They say, no, God, we don't really need that. That's just entertaining. But you do. You consume it every day.
Every day.
Buy clothing.
Mm-hmm.
You rely on ads on the television.
Correct.
To do an ad. And I want persons to understand how the orange economy works. The purpose of this interview is also to show you insight into the orange economy. Andre is one we will call a creator, a creative mindset. So to do an ad that you look on the television while you're watching the news, that is also part of the orange economy. The ad, the creators behind building this ad, filming, producing, the actors.
Mm-hmm. All the talent, the videography, the photography,
editing, the network, editors,
all of that.
All of these things make up part of the orange economy.
Correct, and all of that are economic activities. Those are the inputs for a particular output that you see, but there's a lot that goes into it. Okay, and people really need to understand that and value that. So that is why, you know, that is why we kind of not only educating but advocating. So I could tell you about some initiatives that we did. But needs the support to kind of help the industry, right? So one of the first things, I don't know if you want to go there or you have a question.
No, we're going there.
Okay.
But I wanted to do that in conclusion this morning.
Okay.
In terms
no
of
problem.
Where it is. I wanted us to get some... So one of the things coming out of the regional context of Latin America and Caribbean IDB data, we look at key subsectors. So we talk about the 1.9 million direct jobs
yep.
that people get.
Mm-hmm.
Jobs, right? Now, They say scientists are mad people. They're mad. They say they say the same thing about creators too, you know. They say the creative mind, oh gosh, boy, because we are the thought, we are the ones that
leaders
come up with these ideas in our head to make a movie, to film a movie. That's why the sci-fi market is so huge.
Listen, I think that a movie is one of the most creative, if not the most creative thing that somebody could do. Just because it represents life. It's like somebody's life is being depicted. So that's why it's so powerful, because and hear me out, because the idea or the crystallization of that idea, when it's really an expression of your identity. Now. So when somebody creates some music, they get a song, they had an experience that they now translate that into a musical art that somebody, millions of people across the world, could also relate to. So they relate to you through that music. That's why it's so personal, but it's a personal expression of your imagination.
Let's talk about the employment opportunities quickly before we get into some of the upcoming projects that you have.
All right,
we're looking at the key subsectors, which is, you mentioned music, we have carnival. We have film, animation, and cultural tourism. When a country is able to produce movies, when you look at an ad by itself, mm-hmm. one commercial on the television that you look at and you see the moving parts, how many actors in some instances or talent do you see in one commercial? Sometimes you see 3, 4, several persons.
For sure.
That is employment opportunities there.
Of course.
When you look at the carnival industry, you have designers, mm-hmm. you have those that actually, wire benders, you have the laborers, you have the skilled professionals.
Yeah, these artists.
You have the artists. You have
the makeup, who does the makeup, the hair, the everything. Like, listen, it's right there, but people just need to understand it. And this is why it's important to as we break it down, to show those inputs. Look what Rome did with Carnival Catwalk.
You know how much persons was employed?
Many are persons employed, but also the global, they were the export capacity. So institutions like what was formerly Creative TT, now Global TT, in terms of exporting that talent.
That's
and
right.
Being appreciated on the global. That's so shout right. out to Rome. Mm-hmm. For that initiative and perception management and that whole group for pushing him forth and all the other creatives and people they have in their corner. But that is a perfect example of how you shop something, a creative idea that turned into a tangible product that is now being shopped and streamed. I think it's Peacock.
Peacock is streaming now,
all over the world. Mm-hmm. And that's creating what? Hard currency, US dollars, millions of viewers. So that is what you call a proof of concept for the fact that a small island, Trinidad, could produce, because of its talent, things that could compete on a global landscape.
And, I mean, I'm very passionate about it as well. I've worked closely with Room, of course, coming out of Star Global Studios, even with BMW, even with the Bling My Wedding product. We were able to take that product to at least 21 countries via, I think it was Tempo Networks.
Yep.
At the point in time, streaming it on Tempo, of course, reaching out into the Jamaican market. But the thing about it is, we wanted the persons to understand this morning, through Andre's eyes and mindset, what the orange economy looks like for the average citizen. And when we talk about diversification of a government using different economies within not just oil and gas sector, but other areas to export Trinidad and Tobago, we see where
it came into fruition
under that umbrella, that one room, that one event, that one evening this year, you were able to merge these persons together.
Correct.
So the creative mindsets were able to chat and put a face to the names of those they probably would have written letters to, because 9 out of 10 times I can tell you, as you mentioned, proof of concept, when we had Bling My Wedding on a piece of paper, it was just an idea from our minds, and we write it down and we type it up, and people are asking us what it's going to look like, and you put it out there, but there is no and then we in Trinidad believe, as you mentioned, proof of concept, show me. Then how do we get person, because now you're looking at the camera, we had to actually film something, so that's called a pilot.
Yes.
And that's what Rome had to do. We had to get a pilot to show, so people believed in buying what they can see.
Right. Some people could believe, you know, and that's the difference. And to be honest, I stopped taking those things personal, because, you know, I stopped, because it's human nature. It really comes down to the risk appetite. And there's something called the law of diffusion, which is like a bell curve. And what it says is that, you know, you have the innovators that represent like less than 5%. Then you have the early adopters, which is about 12.5%. As you go up the curve, you have mass adoption, which is 62.5%. And then on the latter curve, you have the late adopters, which tends to be like trainees, right?
Yeah.
But the whole idea is that, you know, it's people's risk tolerance of where you are. Then I don't expect everybody to believe in what I believe in. There's some people who believe in what they can't see, and there's some people believe they have to show them. So now we reach the stage with becoming now. We show what we could do. Becoming towards a man's success, all white affair. You know, shout out to the sponsors, Brydens and Vice and everybody for contributing. But more than that, a lot of times you also use these broad brush kind of terms like, you know, party with a purpose. We literally party with a purpose because that was a celebration of creativity. So everybody, you know, the business support, supposed to support, you know, you have advocacy. Well, this was a celebratory event. So we said, okay, even the Make It Happen Award that specifies that is an award given to honored to someone from the orange economy who has exemplified perseverance and never gave up on their dream or aspiration. And this year, that award was given to
Young Brother.
Last year, you know, we created history with Kwesi Upkinson. He was the first ever recipient of the Make It Happen Award. Shout out to Kwesi. He's been a intentional supporter. And with that now, the standpoint we came from that event is that we need to, if EY has Entrepreneur of the Year Award for the business, TT Chamber of Commerce have a slew of awards for the, you know, Business Person of the Year and all of that. And what advocacy group is supporting in this particular aspect, the creative economy? So that is why I came up with the Make It Happen Award. I didn't want to call it the Creative of the Year Award because that's kind of corny, but something that people can relate to. Making it happen in that, because you literally have to push for it because there isn't a linear path or creative. It's not okay, you go and study here, you get this job. It's not linear.
True.
So you literally have to make it happen and create your own path, like what I'm doing right now. You know, for me, you know, I started over, like I said, and even that name, Make It Happen. You know, I don't like, again, what is our motto? Let me tell you where it stems from. Our motto is together we aspire, together we
achieve,
right? So I looked at that and said, how do I bring that to life in a modern, contemporary way? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, listen, everybody that's trying to achieve, everybody that is aspiring, another way of saying that is what? Trying to make it happen.
Make it happen. Indeed.
And then I say, all right, cool. And then, okay, what about that togetherness aspect? Oh, that's what a network is, right? Oh, Make It Happen Network, bam. I got it. So our organization is a reflection of the motto of this country. That's how serious it is. At least that's the intensity and the depth and the layers that went to the thought process, even coming up with that name and that slogan that could appeal to people on a universal level. So that's why, you know, it's a name that made to stick. Because in some conversations somewhere around the world in Trinidad and Tobago right now, somebody's saying, yeah, boy, we had to make it happen. And then guess what? They're going to remember the Make It Happen Network for that, because that's what we're doing. We're bringing that network together to make things happen, because guess what? Together we aspire, together we achieve. But if you don't get it that way, hopefully you get it this way.
All right, let's talk about some of the upcoming initiatives that you have on the table right about now. But just before you get to that, can we talk about intellectual property in terms of carnival costume, what that looks like, how people benefit from it?
The intellectual property. Well, the way my contribution to that, in that respect, because I'm not an intellectual property attorney, Carla Paris, that's a good, not only good, but a great, she's a great advocate for that. Shout out to Carla Paris. But what we did is that I have a lot of friends who are designers, and one of the things that they weren't, you know, they're charging one costume in this band and another band is another price locally, regionally, there's another price. So there wasn't like a framework. And right, so what I do, because my gift is that I use both the left side and the right side of my brain. They call it the golden brain, right? That is my gift. So I come now and I say, let me analyze creativity without putting it in a box to help, you know, to use my insight to help the industry, right?
Okay.
So because of that pricing issue, and this speaks, and the designers not being adequately compensated for their ingenuity and ideas and intellectual property, I said, okay, I looked at an attorney, because my background is that I studied actuarial science, went to Fatima QRC, St. George's, got an academic scholarship, did an MBA in finance, so, you know, and I, as a professional, I'm an anti-money laundering consultant. Mic drop, right? But again, I'm in my creative era. So I said, because I used to work with a lot of attorneys, how they value themselves or their pricing models based on one pillar, which is their years of experience. So I said, okay, how could we, let's take that and let's add some more elements to that when it comes to a designer and the creative aspect without limiting them and putting them in a box. So we said, okay, that is one factor, the years of experience of a designer. What about the influence and impact? Because if you're a designer and you got, you know, 1,000,000 flowers, 600 flowers, that should influence your pricing point. What about the size of the band? Okay, so we came up with about 6 different variables that they could use in their pricing model, mm-hmm. to be able to quantify that creativity, right? The impact, the reach, the years of experience, the size of the band, whether it's a local, regional, or design, whether it's non-exclusive designs or an exclusive design. Because if it's a non-exclusive design, I mean, it would be a little bit less. But if a band wants you to design for them exclusively, that should be a different cost.
Of course.
Okay, and then in terms of the intellectual property, every designer should have some royalties that come from the sale of the
costume.
And that depends on, so you have different thresholds of 5%. So the whole, and we produce a guidance note called the compensation, is what's called disruptors, the compensation and intellectual property rights for carnival costume designers. A document I share, I was trying to get NCC to adopt it as a guidance note that I share within the industry. But you know, David, I don't know if you experience this, but sometimes it's not the message of the messenger. They say, well, who's you to, you like, you want to be in all kind of things. It's not that. Is that how does I work? Is that if once I get saturated in an environment, my brain will just start to click. I don't necessarily have that experience, but I know that is my gift. You understand? Mm-hmm. So when we put that together and shop that around, was to support that the creatives in a business framework. Mm-hmm. And with that framework now, we develop a sheet where now, once you put those inputs, it comes up, it generates a price that you should charge. But it's not saying that that's the charge, that's what you should, the band leader should pay, no. That is the value of your of you.
True.
But then if somebody, I would say value in the eyes of the beholder, somebody mm-hmm. said, no, I want you, I'm willing to pay you 10 times that. That's okay too, but at least you have a framework that where you could quantify your creativity.
Let's talk a little bit about what's coming up for you in the coming months and maybe early next year. What are you looking at?
Well, what do we have in the agenda? Apart from that, so we have, we have becoming 3 2026. And for people who, you know, the business community who wants to support that, we welcome that. They could get in contact with me. So that's one thing that's coming up. Then we have what did I share with you? The embrace.
The embrace.
Let me talk about embrace, right?
Tell me about embrace.
Let me tell you about embrace. How much time we have?
We have about less than 10 minutes.
Okay, yeah. Actually, so I'll tell you how this came up, right? So we're saying, okay, in the spirit of the orange economy, they speak to communities. And one thing, and before I get into that, one thing I want to say is that, you know, communities are a big part of the orange economy because the community supports it, right? And the difference between, so I would say that Make It Happen Network is a community because, you know, what we have is for community, they literally is always growing. You're always welcoming new people, right? Mm-hmm. Usually committees, they're defined, they're very kind of exclusive, but we are a community that thrives on inclusivity, right? So that's a big difference to support the different initiatives. So when you look at that and you say, okay, the spirit of collaboration and connecting from different borders that the whole orange economy is around, we say, well, Carnival is a thing where it seems so competitive. You know, you have Yardmas, you have Jamaica, you have all, and it fuels a kind of competitive nature. So we said, you know what? If we want to do something that different people use Carnival events in different ways, we wanted to use it in a way to promote inclusivity, to promote collaboration, and to strengthen diplomatic ties. Very important. Those three things: to strengthen diplomatic ties, to promote inclusivity and collaboration. So I said, you know what's great, ready to make this worldwide, you know, you have all these, the diplomatic community here and the multinationals here is pretty huge, and plus they will attract their friends and their relatives from all over the world. Could we build an event to strengthen diplomatic ties and has a ripple effect and a global ripple effect? So, and help me out here. So we said, okay, you have all these embassies around the world, all the different embassies with a bunch of different races. So this is how the name came up, right?
Embrace.
But look how the name came up. I said, when you combine the word embassy with the word race, drop some letters off an embassy, what do you get?
You get embrace.
Embrace. So it's a good, that's a powerful name, because the name represents the type of energy you want to. We need to embrace the global impact of Carnival around the world. So we say, okay, in 2026 or 2027, you know, the places and the countries and the jurisdictions where Carnival and soca music have had its most, its greatest impact and influence will now return to the Mecca to perform alongside our indigenous talents in a showcase of the global tapestry of Trinidad and Tobago's Carnival. We need to embrace that, not shun it, right? So what that would look like is that now you remove from, yeah, the history of Carnival is good, but what we want to tell is the future of it, what it looks like. The future of Trinidad and Tobago's Carnival is bigger than Trinidad, and we need to embrace that. So think, so
across cultural. The thing is, are you thinking that we need to take the traditional Carnival period in Trinidad and broaden it?
Right.
What is happening, we already have Tobago in October, which is the last Carnival on the globe. I think that's the last Carnival experience.
In terms of the time span between
the beginning of the year, because I think Miami used to be the last.
Correct.
No, it's Tobago.
It's Tobago, right. Well, what I'm saying is that this is our contribution from an event. I'm talking about an event that represents the how big Carnival really is. Because a lot of people don't even know where some carnivals are. So I'm talking about an event that represents that speaks to the diplomatic community and the multinational.
Do we bring them under one umbrella, one space, one show?
One event.
That highlights Notting Hill. Miami.
Yep.
Okay.
Instead of having a back wall with some logos, now you have instead of a backdrop, you have work with me, power of imagination, right? You have a whole back wall that shows all the places, all the logos where Carnival is. Because educating people there as well.
I got you.
Then you have boots that represent the different countries. So then the representation of that would look like you might have alcohol that from Japan that you never had before, from all the different countries as well. The food, so every booth now is categorized and colorized from the different countries being represented where Carnival is. All the different carnivals being represented. You'll have a showcase. Part of it would be like a band launch, because now you'd have the mannequins from the different countries parading right through. So you know you get exposure to, ooh, this is how big Carnival really is. Right, and then you have performances now where you have, you know, you might have from soca Japan and a steel band from Japan playing next to Despers with some international acts alongside soca acts. So this event we are embracing the global impact of Trinidad and Tobago's Carnival in a non-competitive, collaborative way that is showing people how big Carnival is. And I believe that all the other carnivals around the world would be open to that. And because they get now the branding opportunities, now people get, I want to go to Jamaica. When they're coming up, and it's the spirit of collaboration, so they wouldn't see it. So we're moving away from the competitive nature into the collaborative nature, because that is what fuels the orange economy.
That is a brilliant idea.
I know.
That I have started wondering in my mind and thinking, where are we going to put this?
In the calendar.
We
have to take something.
It has to be calendarized, if that's a word. We have to calendarize it. We have to also location. All right. We're talking about a mini expo, because we're talking booths and areas designated to different countries. And the last thing that hit home is, hey, I didn't know Barbados have a carnival. You didn't know Australia does keep a carnival?
Dubai
have a mass? And it was influenced and pioneered and engineered from Trinidad and Tobago.
And that way, they will always remember, the history will always be told while the future keeps on going.
Well said. Andre, I want to thank you for sharing the brilliance of that idea with us this morning. And every time you think about it, there's no such thing as a brand new idea, right? Because how much time you go reinvent the wheel?
No.
The wheel has been reinvented. So there's a brand new reinvention of an idea that already exists.
Correct.
And
because
that is the magic of the orange economy.
Absolutely. Because creativity is not only the birthing of new ideas, but the bringing together, again, the togetherness, bringing together of already existing ideas in a creative way.
Embrace.
Embrace.
Just to put it in a nutshell.
Embrace.
That's
so
just what it is.
So, you know, for that to happen, because of the significance of that culturally, you know, that is something that really needs to be underwritten by the government and the corporate sector to bring that to life. Because, you know, of course, to be able to pull that off is a pretty huge budget. So it needs to be underwritten. The government needs to be included in that. All the different embassies support it. And I think that it will be something that will make history again, for sure.
I don't doubt it. I want to thank you very much, as I'm out of time here this morning with you on the Morning Rumble.
Time,
yeah, it's...
There's no game started.
Boy, we reached an hour. we definitely out of time. But, Andre, I want to thank you very much. I can see a part two to an interview coming as we get closer to your events that's coming up. What is the next one? How soon?
Okay, we have brunch mass coming up in December 14th, Sunday at Arazi, which is like a Christmas brunch mass, but it's also brunch mass in the sense of having a display of mass with certain designers displaying what they have there. So that's going to be happening. And Sunday, December 4th at Arazi, it is a food inclusive with stick stations, breakfast, soup, appetizer, pasta, carving, dessert.
Name it.
It's going to be amazing.
So the 4th and the 14th.
The 14th of December, and Sunday.
And the 4th of December as well.
No.
Is this one date?
One date.
14th.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Parang, belly dancing, live DJs, performances, everything. So come
niceness.
On.
Niceness.
Yeah.
All right. So with that being said, folks, we take another commercial break. The news is coming up to the top. We thank Andre for passing through for bringing the spirit of the orange economy to life and thoroughly and truly going through the intricacies and bring in empirical data to share with us this morning and our future initiatives that he has on the table. Congratulations to the success and thank you so much. It just goes to show how diverse the mind can be.
Correct.
As we continuously lobby with the government for diversification.
Please.
And not just tossing everything on the economic, the energy sector.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.